Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, by Michael Jackson, they don't care about us. Do they really care about us? I'm talking about the GOP and the Democrats. We're going to be talking about that in current events today. Got a lot to talk about. Yes, I know I always say that because I believe that, and I do have a lot to talk about. And you can feel free to get on the phone, call your loved ones, your relatives, your significant ones, whoever you like to call, and tell them Straight Talk with Stan Macklin's on air, 347-850-1598. And we like to hear what your comments are. This is not just a one-way Straight Talk program. It's a two-way street. We want to hear what you have to say. You might have been going through something. Somebody might have been messing with you, bullying you or something. You got situations on your job. Something you need to talk out about, you can do it. This is what this program is all about. Straight talk. We'll tell it like it is. And we want you to be able to comment. And it's not only from just a male perspective. We have our co-host here with us, Ms. Bianca Forbes. And so we got female representation represented also, too. So anyway, give us a call, 347-850-1598, Straight Talk with Stan Macklin. Well, we're going to begin our program today. That's why we opened up with the song, They Don't Care About Us, because you know what the GOP is doing. That's right. What does the GOP stand for? Grand Old Party. And what is that party? Well, it seems like to be the party of denomination, the party of exclusion, the party that filters everything. Yes, that's right. They say they have a conservative message, but is it really? We don't know. But, yes, Trump has had enough. You know, I think he thinks he's still in reality TV with Celebrity Apprentice. You know what his favorite line was? You're fired. And White House Press Secretary Sean Spencer, that's what he got. He got fired. Well, he might want to say he resigned because of some communication changes that was taking place in that department, and his true personality came out. He's out of there. That's right. And Miss Huckabee, along with Anthony, I can't think of his last name, Schumer, I think it is, are now heading it up. But sooner or later, something's going to come out. And it seemed like he's working on Attorney General Sessions. He's next, I guess. He's just right out. This president is none like we've ever seen. He speaks his mind. When he doesn't want to say it publicly, he's on social media and he's Twitter. He's just different, very different. And we don't know what's going to happen, but his son, as you know, son-in-law, went before Congress this week. We had to give an account of his alleged meeting with one of the Russian operatives. And he said the meeting anyway was just a waste of his time. Well, that's so much for politics. Most of it seemed like it is just a waste of our time. Does it really make any difference? It's supposed to be of the people, for the people, and by the people. But I don't know. Politics is involved in our lives from the cradle to the grave. It's here. We got to learn how to deal with it. But anyway, enough on the GOP. Until something else comes up, we need to talk about Democrats. Can you believe it? The Democrats are trying to find an economic message after rallying against Trump. Several of them were in Berryville, Virginia. Can you believe that? Yes, they were. Nancy Pelosi, Charles Schumer, Senator Mark Warner, they were there in Berryville. Yes. And for more than a year, Democrats have raged against now President Trump, projecting their opposition as the party's central message. In so doing, they have maintained their minority status in Congress, sustained the most stunning loss in the modern presidential history, and left voters with little sense of what they represent. And people need to really, they need to really wake up and realize that if your vote really counts, you'll make a difference. You'll make a difference in trying to understand what's going on. But I want you to know, on Monday, which is today, Democratic leaders gathered 70 miles from Washington in a little town of some 4,000 people in a district represented by a Republican in a county carried easily by Mr. Trump by something else. And this is what the message was. Too many Americans don't know what we stand for. Oh, really? You're right. I'm one of them. Don't know what we stand for. Talking about the Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer of New York said. The Democratic leader told a sweat-soaked crowd of about 100 at a park off of Main Street. But not after the day. Well, what does he mean by that? Not after the day. Well, they were standing together in seemly unison to make a statement. And here's what they were simply trying to say. That such is the battle cry of a party in the wilderness, straining to win support, even while staring down a historical unpopular president consumed by a Russian scandal. Now Democrats are training their attention elsewhere, unfurling a set of proposals aimed squarely at voters who see a gap between Mr. Trump's populist campaign message and the reality of his tenure. Labeled collectively as a better deal, the policies combine left-leaning doctrine old and new, and a 15-an-hour minimum wage, a crusade against monopolies, and an effort to lower prescription drugs costs, elevating issues that Democrats expect to emanate the next year's midterm elections, and supplying an answer to critics who accuse them of offering nothing but obstruction. Not coincidentally, Democrats latched onto two policies that Mr. Trump notices here. Mr. Trump had set forth. And so on, one after another, the Democrats stepped into this smaller town, painting the Senate firebrand from Massachusetts, two Brooklynites, the House leader from San Francisco in her dark sunglasses, assembling in front of a swing set and a row of minivans and telling the people why they should listen this time. We're here today because the economy is broken. What's new? Said Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts. The event's most celebrated draw, revving up as residents snapped to attention for cell phone photographs, Americans know that this economy is rigged. For all the fanfare on Monday, today, Democrats acknowledge that the message might serve more as a flexible skeleton for the 2018 campaign than a precise ideological or political roadmap. The better deal concept appeared designed to satisfy as many fractions of the party as possible. Populists, liberals, suburban moderates, social justice activists, while attaching the Democratic Party in formal fashion to a few broad economic themes. But the themes did aim at issues familiar to struggling Americans. And listen to them. Soaring drug prices are cutting into middle-class wallets, and the consolidation of industries from airlines to cab companies to banks are rising prices. All these things are happening. Reducing competition and holding down wages, the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour has not been raised since 2009. You can go on and on. But David Axelrod, the former chief strategist for President Barack Obama, said, the message in rollout appeared to be an acknowledgement. It appeared to be simply an acknowledgement that the failed Democrats are trying their very best to connect with voters' economic anxiety in the last election. But the question is, does it appear to people to be simply a poll-driven document offered by a bunch of Washington politicians? That's right, elite. Or is it their persistent, disciplined attempt to follow through on these issues, said Mr. Axelrod, noting that Hillary Clinton merited economic policy prescriptions failed to overcome Mr. Trump's battering ram nationalist message. And do the candidates of the party running throughout the country embrace them? Well, they were in this small town, and Mr. Trump's election tossed off a bitter argument among Democrats over just how politically combative the party should be and how much it should seek to compete with Mr. Trump's hard-edged version of economic populism. Mr. Schumer suggested, in fact, that Mr. Trump's success had demonstrated the potency of this kind of economic strategy. President Trump campaigned on a populist platform talking to working people. That's why he won. Yes, the rural people, the senator said, adding that Mr. Trump's choice to often outsource policy making to hardline conservatives had created a vacuum on economic issues. We Democrats are going to fill that vacuum. We're going to fill that vacuum, is what he attempted to say. Democrats will show the country we are the party on the side of the working people. Well, they've been professing that for quite some time, and they just haven't come through. This effort comes as the party confronts a mood of mounting urgency around its messaging, particularly on economic matters. For all of the Clintons' campaign white papers and roundtable discussions last year, proposals, in many cases, they were equivalent to what Democrats embraced this Monday, stating that the candidates' closing arguments registered often as anti-Trump above all else. The problem has persisted, lacking a pointed national sales pitch in the first half of the year. Democratic candidates were shut out in a series of special congressional elections in conservative-leaning districts in Georgia, Montana, South Carolina, and Kansas, with each defeat fueling new recriminalizations and de-opening existing disagreements about the party's future. Where do they stand? Several Democrats were heartened that Monday's display today seemed at least to reflect a consensus that the party needs to be more attentive to voters, and they do, close to home concerns, and of all places, taking a stand in Berryville. Without lurching too perceptionlessly toward the left or the center, they want to make a statement. However, the event was hosted by Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, a centrist, business-friendly Democrat who reached the governor's mansion in 2002 in part by finding unlikely success with the kinds of rural voters who have since gravitated toward Mr. Trump. In that way, it is an important step, said former Governor Jack Markwell of Delaware, a moderate Democrat and former chairman of the National Governors Association. And I think it really appeals to everybody from Mark Warner to Elizabeth Warren. Well, I guess I've stirred up somebody because we got a call on the phone, and we don't know if it's about this here current stand in Berryville, but we got a caller on the line, and feel free to call us and call if we want to hear what you have to say. So go ahead. Give us a call. Go ahead. Caller, I want to hear what you have to say.
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Hello,
Ms. Brula. This is Ms. Brula, and I'm calling this about another situation. Yes, Mr.
Oh, you're calling about another situation.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I'm calling about those young men that let that man drown. And I'm wondering
what you think about that.
The man that was drowning with the young boys, just let him drown.
Yes, Ms. Brula. Oh, thank you for it.
Yeah.
Okay, I always do want to know your name.
I don't know about the mark that you're talking about. I don't get in that politics stuff, and so I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, that's I hate to say this, Ms. Beauty, but that's part of the problem, because we got these slickster politicians who are men and women who take advantage of people like you and I who don't know.
Yes,
but I want to get back to your question.
Our president do that. Yes, our president, he do that.
Yes, he does.
He takes
advantage of us. Yeah, he does. But I want to get back to your question. You asked me a question about these men who, I guess, was over
the
weekend.
Young teenagers.
He laughed at this man.
Yes, sir.
They laughed at this man who was drowning. I got a couple of questions about
this.
Because, first of all, I'm wondering, what in the world is the man doing in the water when he couldn't swim?
I don't know.
Because
I
know
his people.
And I can.
He was mad.
But if I couldn't,
people.
I wouldn't be in the water.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am?
Well, you got
but
mad
anyway,
at his people.
The people were laughing at him, yes. And they didn't do anything to help him. That shows the sickness that's in our society.
Yes, our young
yes,
people's
ma'am?
Messed up. Our young people's messed up. How do we get them right? What can we
well,
do
people
to help
like
young
that,
people?
It's hard to get them right.
Well,
people like that,
something.
It's hard to get them right. I don't know. Let me ask our co-host, Miss Bianca. Did you hear about that incident where this man was drowning in the water and these young people were just standing around laughing at him, saying, "Oh, he's going down once. Well, if he goes down two more times, he's not coming up," which he didn't. What do you think about that?
Well, I always think that it's important for people to stand up when things are wrong, and that was a situation of bullying. So, but I didn't hear about this, so I'm sorry to hear that happened, and my prayers go out to the family.
Well, Ms. Becker, don't you listen to the radio? You on the radio, and you don't listen to the radio? Or don't you watch the news?
No, it's not that I don't listen to the radio. Actually,
this question for Ms. Becker.
I'm sorry, what?
I said this question for you, Ms. Becker. I want to know, do you watch the news?
Oh, yes, I watch the news, but a lot of times I watch CNN, more so than local news.
Well, that was on there, dear. Yes, it was. And I just want to know, what do y'all think we could do to help these young people?
Well,
hello.
Yeah, mentoring, outreach, being a positive influence. I think those are things that can be done. Yeah, and showing them that being successful is attainable. So there's a lot of different things that can be done.
Well, I think that's good because they need it. They need it. It hurt my heart so bad when I've seen them young people laughing like that because it didn't make no sense.
But
so
that was really irritating.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
I forgot your name that quick. But that really irritated you, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yes,
that
it
really
did,
irritated
sir.
You.
Yes, it did.
What? The main thing that you don't like about that is what?
They didn't help them.
Well, From what I understand, I think those people are going to be prosecuted for not trying to help.
They need to. They need to. They need to. They really do. But that's all I want to say, Mr. Mack and Becca. That's all I want to say. Thank
you. Well, thank you.
You're
welcome to call in anytime.
Thank you.
Yes, I agree.
I sure will.
I agree with you.
Thank you so much.
I agree with you. Yeah,
okay,
thank you for calling
good night.
In.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yes, bye-bye. Well, there's a caller, ladies and gentlemen, call in to say that she's concerned about the young men who were standing around watching a man drown, and they didn't do anything to help him. And she's disgusted. She can't understand how young people could be so non-involved, non-caring, and don't want to get involved to make a difference. And it seems that I think that the law enforcement people are going to try some way to find some kind of way to reprimand them for their lack of citizenship, because I think that is part of the problem, that young people have a different set of values today. We have a new generation, the next generation, that seems to be uncaring, uninvolved, and unresponsive to the concerns of the day. But I must say, everybody's not like that. They're not. There are some young people who are very much concerned, very much care, and there may be some that are listening, and I want to encourage you to call in. You call in the Straight Talk, and you set the record straight. Let them know that you're not in that majority of young people who don't care. And if you saw something like that, you would do your best to try to get help or help them to so that that individual would not have expired. Because I believe that there's young people, we do have some young people who do listen to the program, and I know that they have to have a caring and a kind-hearted spirit, excuse me, to make a difference. So thank you for that call, caller. And Miss, I believe her name was Breyer, she listens from time to time and calls in. So we appreciate that. That is unfortunate, very unfortunate. Well, back to what we were saying, that the Democrats take a stand there in Berryville to try to make an appeal to everybody, from Mark Warner to Miss Elizabeth Warren, and as with most of any of the political messaging rolled out, there was halting moments, ham-fisted ball, baseball battered, time-filled riffs about the weather, and to the delight of Republicans in Washington, a slogan that echoed both a tagline from Speaker Paul D. Ryan, a better way agenda, and the Papa John Pizza's creed, better ingredients, better pizza. So we see today a small group of protesters who refused to say if they belong to an organization held aloof pizza boxes with the face of Representative Nancy Pelosi of California, the minority leader. Still Pelosi, they said. The boxes read, yet if Ms. Pelosi, Mr. Charles Schumer, were plainly a long way from her home cities on Monday, Democrats were careful to line up other parties' ambassadors with more down-home appeal. Representative Sherry Bustos of Illinois, whose district is largely rural, cheered an attendee for wearing a hat for a seed company. That's like my kind of peeps, she said. Others leaned into their urban zip codes. We got another caller on the line, and caller, feel free. Go ahead. Got 4 minutes. Go ahead.
I'm a teenager just like those boys were that let that man drown. I'm calling to talk about what Miss Viola said.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Maybe they didn't know how to swim. Maybe they just couldn't, you know.
So what would you have done if you was in that crowd? Would you have jumped in the water and tried to help that man, or would you have got a stick or a piece of clothing or something, or would you call 911? What would you have done?
I would have screamed. I would have screamed.
You would have what? You would have laughed?
I would have screamed.
Oh, you would have screamed.
Yeah.
So you would have screamed because you would have been, that would be your way of expressing concern.
Yeah, I would have been in fear and scared for that man. Yeah.
Yeah. So as a young person, you're speaking up to say that you would have not been like the other young people who stood around and laughed. You would
exactly.
have done something. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, that there documents my call. That shows, as what I said, that there are young people, and you're one of them, and I appreciate your call.
Yes.
And after the program, I would like to get your name so we can send you a gift card, because you're the kind of youth of the next generation that we need. I want to say to the Straight Talk family, there are, and I'll reiterate it again, there are young people that do concern, that's not caught up into this bullying, don't care, don't involve me, I don't care, I'm silly, and I'm going to act silly and do anything I can to portray that by not getting involved. So we thank you. We thank you very much for calling. And if you could just hold on to the line, we'd like to get your name or something so we can send you a gift card. Thank you very much for calling. Well, this has been Stan Macklin with Straight Talk, and we hope that the politicians don't have that attitude like the song Michael Jackson sung, Nobody Care. And we want you to exercise some care and some concern. I want to say to these Democratic leaders, just going to a rural town, a small town of 4,000 in Berryville, Virginia, doesn't mean nothing if you don't really step up to the plate to make a difference. People are tired of all the rhetoric. People are tired of all the political games. They want to hear something. So stand up and make a difference. And remember, whatever you're going through, it's not the outlook, but it's the uplook that makes a difference. And have a good day. Stan Macklin and Bianca Ford with Straight Talk.